Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our stories. We tell your stories. You call us up and you tell your stories, too. It's embarrassing all around. I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie.
Let's turn Beat Red.
How was your week?
I did it first.
I don't know.
Look at your face. Look at your shock. Look at your shock on your face.
I don't know. My week
what are you
going to
talk about? What did you do this week? What did you actually
do?
Where did you go? Did you do any thrifting?
I didn't go thrifting. I didn't bank up.
You went thrifting with me last Sunday.
That was so fun.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. I didn't buy anything. but we saw amazing things. You already made a reel about it, right? So
I did. And Full Circle Thrift in Altadena is back open, which is one of our favorites.
I wanted to ask you about that. Mm-hmm. How was it? I want to go, but
it's amazing. Like,
is it just as good as it was? I mean, like,
it is just as good. There are some parts that are not open yet. Like the whole, remember the book part and
yes,
that like second room is not open yet. But you know, considering that everything around them was incinerated and were one of the only places to survive,
yeah.
Like, is pretty impressive.
Is it an old firehouse?
That's what I heard, yeah.
It's
a brick building and, you know, it took a lot of months to clear out all the smoke inhalation or the smoke
damage
and everything. So, yeah, it looks amazing. I was happy to see it. I'm happy to see them thriving you know.
They had new floor. They put new floors in it, right?
Yeah, it looks great.
It
looks great. I know.
And that's my week. I'm planning on next week's
Your face
adventures.
Was so shocked. I loved it so much.
I completely forgot what I did. I have a bad memory, so that's probably why I look so shocked.
You're killing
it. How was your week? I'm killing the game.
How was your week? Well, when this airs, I will be leaving in like less than a week, which is crazy to say. But we're recording early so that we can, you know, keep it going for you guys in the interim. But yeah, I am in the throes of packing. My house is stacked to the brim with boxes and boxes and boxes. Like the amount that I have amassed of trinkets, of doodads.
Treasures is what I say.
Treasures of knickknacks,
of
paddywhacks. Like it is out of control. Like it's out of control. So, yeah, it's been the amount of bubble wrap, like, required to protect these little pieces, like, these little things. Like, yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot of wrapping, of being delicate, of getting these boxes all together. And it's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff. But, you know, I am going to have a bigger place.
Yes.
So I'm like, I can take most of this with me.
And you're going to replace them in the
It'll
new
be
spot.
A whole new thing. It'll be exciting, a whole new world. And yeah, I got a lot of art, a lot of little pieces, a lot of little doodads, but I do love them. And so I'm packing them carefully and methodically, meticulously.
Are you listening to anything while you're doing that?
Always.
Jim Harold's
I'm always
Campfire.
I love Jim Harold's Campfire.
I know.
I'm always listening to podcasts. While I'm doing it to get me through and music and it's a lot.
Yeah.
But we're getting through it. We're doing it.
You're doing it.
I'm having those final just like, you know, moments of seeing people that I won't see for probably a while and, you know, going to places that I won't see for a while, visiting restaurants I won't see for a while, all that stuff. I've been talking about this for weeks, so sorry. But
I think
my experience is right now.
And I think when you leave a place, it's good to start early to go to see what you want, because by the time you're ready to go, you've exhausted all of your sort of last looks.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You've already seen it and you said goodbye in a way.
Yeah,
that's good. So I'm glad you started back. Some people, they're completely in denial about what's going on, and then all of a sudden it's happening, and that's way, way, way more traumatic than really just breathing it in and saying, yeah, I'm leaving. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go eat this pizza. I'm going to go do this.
Yeah.
That's what I would be doing. I'd be eating all the food that
that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Oh. Yeah. So do you want me to start this one?
Yes,
let's kick it off. Let's get it going. Okay.
Do it.
This first story is anonymous, and she writes, going anonymous for this one because it's embarrassing.
Good.
Anyway, this is my first ever period story. 2 years ago, I was with my boyfriend of 1 year at his rich aunt and uncle's house for Christmas. His aunt and I were friends by then, but this was the first time I was visiting their house. So I felt something wet, and I ran up to one of the higher floor bathrooms. This house is huge, like really huge. Tons of bathrooms and bedrooms. You could go on for like a week without bumping into one another there. It was like amazing.
Amazing.
I was pretty panicked to discover I had my period because I had no equipment on hand, as it was my first. I'm like, oh, sweet baby, it's your first period.
Wow.
First ever. I thought I would text my boyfriend's aunt because she lives here and she would know where the period supplies were kept. This is where it gets embarrassing.
Oh, no.
I texted her. Oh, my God. I just got my first period. I don't know where the tampons are. It looks like someone was just stabbed to death in the upstairs bathroom. She texted me back. That's great. Thanks for sharing. I texted, it is not great. I am having cramps and leaking everywhere, and I feel totally gross.
This is to his aunt?
To his aunt. You've got to come help me, which I love that she was that bold. Like, I feel like I would feel, I would like shove some toilet paper up there and call it a day. I'd feel so awkward. And then I would like rummage around to all the bathrooms and see if I could find anything.
I didn't even get that specific with my mom when I got my period.
Yeah. So this is her boyfriend's aunt who she says she's met a few times, but still like.
But like, they're like chatty girlfriends.
Like, good for her, like for being that
seriously.
Bold. I love it. Like, and that's awesome.
Open about it. Exactly.
Yeah. Her. I don't think I can help you with that. Me. Why not? You have a vagina too.
Oh my God.
She wrote that back. Her. No, not the last time I checked. I looked closer at my phone and I wasn't texting my boyfriend's aunt. I was texting my new boyfriend the whole time.
Oh my God.
Their names are right next to each other in my speed dial.
No. No.
I then let out a scream like I was being murdered. My boyfriend and his dad came running up the stairs.
Oh God.
I yelled at them to stay out and to get his aunt, which he did. I'm still embarrassed about it to this day, although we're still dating, so that's good.
Oh, good. That is amazing.
She's like, you look like someone got murdered up here. Bring me some tampons.
You have a vagina. Come help me.
He's like, what?
Well, also,
he's like, great. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. Okay. Don't think I can help you with that. I don't know where the tampons are. I know. He should have been like, let me get my aunt or something.
Hey, this is
your boyfriend.
But
clearly this girl is super young, so they're not emotionally mature.
Right.
Hopefully her boyfriend is much older.
He was like, ew, gross.
He's probably like 14 or 15, right? I know. He's like, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Like, I haven't even touched a boob yet. that's a really good one.
He's like, guess I'm not getting any this weekend. Yeah.
Why did that make me
so bad?
Okay. This is from Alan in Pittsburgh, and he writes, I was an innocent guy when I started college. In high school, I'd had a few beers, almost had sex once, and definitely never experimented with any drugs. To my naive surprise, marijuana was everywhere in my college dorm. I figured that I probably should give it a try. Thanks to the DARE program and after-school specials, I'd figured I'd end up in jail if I ever went near that stuff. Those after-school specials where they're like, what are you doing? However, everyone I went to school with seemed to be doing it, and no one was carted off by the police. So one night, my roommate asked if I wanted to go and smoke some weed in a friend's dorm room. I reluctantly agreed and followed him upstairs. Loud music greeted us as we approached. It was, as I would later learn, a band called Fish, which makes this story a cliche.
That's so funny.
In I went, making my introductions as I cleared a path to a propped up stained futon. Settling into my new perch, I prepared to lose my mind. In the center of the room was a large glass bong, a contraption that I was only superficially familiar with. One of the guys...
Super fishly familiar with. That's what I did there.
I wish I could bust into a fish song right now, but I don't remember any. Do you?
Sample in a Jar, I loved.
There you go.
I loved that song when I was younger.
So did I.
Fish is not. I'm not going to talk shit about Fish, but I would not listen to it today. Let me just say that.
One of the guys was vigorously cramming weed into the bowl. As he finished, he said, hey, new guy, want to take the first hit? Not wanting to seem either ungrateful or uncool, I accepted his kind offer. I picked up the large glass bong and I sat back down. I had no idea what to do.
Aww.
Somebody to my left handed me a lighter, which only confused me more. After an uncomfortable pause, I decided to take the leap. So I tipped the whole bong back as far as it would go, and a torrent of water came. So he thought he had to drink the water, to drink the bong water.
Oh, gross.
A torrent of water came splashing down on my face. It soaked my shirt, and water was dripping from the bottom of my face. He was just like, here we go, boys.
And
like,
I'm sure spilled all the weed out of the other part,
too. All the weed came out.
Oh, my God.
Everyone looked confused, and finally my roommate broke the silence. What the fuck are you doing? quietly. I then quickly excused myself, saying I needed to change my shirt, and I ran downstairs.
Sweet
it's
baby.
So sad. Later on that evening, I explained to my roommate that I'd never smoked weed before, let alone smoked weed out of a bong. He laughed and explained how it worked. I went on to have a pretty prolific weed smoking career in college after some instruction.
Yeah, see, what you do in that situation, Oof. You get handed it, it's your first time, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. You go, oh, I'm good right now. And then you step back and okay. you see someone else yeah. do it, and then you just parrot what they've done.
Do you say, I'm good right now because I just smoked a huge fat one in the bathroom?
That's what you say.
Do you say that?
I just smoked a huge fat fatty in the bathroom.
I just burned down the biggest weed cigar you've ever seen. That's what you say.
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Oh, my God.
Okay, my next one's anonymous, and they write, I lived in Panama City, ground zero for Hurricane Michael. Mm-hmm. Naturally, for a while there, I lived on MREs. I was like, what is that? What is I looked that? It up. It's meal ready to eat. I guess it's something they do in, like, the military and stuff. Okay. And, like, wow. Or more specifically, their shitty low-sodium cousins, ERMs, which I couldn't find anything for that. So eat ready meal? I don't know. They gave me what we'll understate as bad gas.
Okay.
So these are like, yeah, they're like little like prepackaged things for people.
They're like just Stouffer's, Lean Cuisine. Just rip them open and there's just like food in there.
Yeah, I'm picturing that or like astronaut stuff or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ready, it's astronaut
ready
ice cream.
To eat shit. Okay. How good is astronaut? I love
so
astronaut
good.
Ice cream. I was working on pulling what was recoverable out of the house. Some of the FEMA, Red Cross, linemen, first responders were patrolling, noting houses with severe damage, questioning residents if everyone in their families were accounted for, etc. It's like a very traumatic job. Yeah, he's like ground zero for Hurricane Michael. I guess it was like a really serious hurricane. I don't know what year this was. I took a break on the porch to drink a bottle of water, and while I was outside, away from my family, I felt the telltale rumble in my tumbly. He said rumbly in my
rumbly
tumbly.
Rumbly in my tumbly, Tom.
Indicating I had a bit of a buildup.
Oh, no.
So I leaned to the side to open the vent for maximum airflow.
Open the vent.
And let it rip. With no cheek impediment, it was an abrupt, forceful, and silent whoosh.
Oh, my God.
At first, nothing happened. Then all the first responders got quiet. I looked up because beforehand, they'd been making quite a bit of noise. That's when I overheard the new subject of conversation. They were radioing for a coroner and a canine unit to find a body because they detected what they believed to be the scent of decomp.
Oh, my God. That is so embarrassing.
They didn't find anything, and I never told them what they were really smelling.
So they, people come in, they're like, oh, my God, you found a corpse.
Yes,
and they,
it smelled so bad. They thought it was a dead, rotting body. That's how bad his fart smelled. They thought
those people got paid.
They were on the radio on the CV like,
hey, we need a canine stat over here. We've detected the scent of decomposition.
That is so funny.
Isn't that hilarious?
That is so good.
Yeah.
That might be my new favorite story.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Your
it's a perfect storm.
Fart was literally deadly.
I'm glad they didn't find a body. I'm glad it was, you know, just his fart.
And he had to just sit there and be like, doot, doot, doot.
Yeah, he had to be like, oh, I think it's over there, boys.
Yeah, forget these people's time and resources that are super valuable.
Yeah,
with your nasty fart. You should have owned up to it.
14 other dead bodies yeah, because but of this dumb wild goose chase.
Great.
That's pretty funny. Okay, so this is from Dr. Manhattan from Reddit. And they wrote, I was at a Motley Crue concert in a big arena, and before the show started, all the lights were on and a beach ball was being passed around. The whole crowd was watching the beach ball while people were filing into the floor section. When the beach ball reached the floor, a large man was walking out holding two full beers.
Oh, no.
And he went to kick the ball and fell flat on his back and spilled both oh, beers on his no. face.
Poor guy.
The whole stadium was laughing hysterically. Short and sweet. But you can picture it. He wants to join in the fun. He wants to get the camaraderie of this Motley Crue concert going, and he kicks and he falls and splatters himself with both of his beers.
Yeah, but it's also really funny because beach balls are super light. Like, it does not require like
no.
this insane
kick.
Like, it, oh, he must have just like missed it or like realized
or slipped or on
he
some beer.
He kicked so hard and it was so light that he just like kicked himself onto
yeah.
the floor.
Yeah, he just
and so funny.
And everyone around.
He could have just done a little tippy tap tap with his toe. He would have been fine.
Just the idea of here if. Like the sound effect being like, oh no, you know,
the
just
beers
like
all over you and all over the floor, which is gonna get
beer.
Sticky and nasty as it always does.
Then you have to go spend another, drop another $50 for two more beers.
Yeah, exactly. Not cool.
What can you do?
This next story comes from Quora, and Mark Smith writes, many years ago, I was working with a guy that was from North London. I received a call from him late afternoon on a Friday, and he said one of the chaps at his work was having a slight problem in his loft space with an overflowing cold water tank.
Can you say that in a North
London
accent?
He asked if I would do him a solid favor and pop into the property. I know, I was like, I really want to do a horrible English accent with this.
Like, you sound like the host of Love Island.
He could not go himself as he was a Jewish lad and was observing the Sabbath Shabbat. No disrespect there. Shabbat. Okay, Shabbat Shalom. I'm going to go back to regular voice.
Okay, go.
I said to my friend, we'll call him Jay, I am in the car. All my tools are in the van. So all I can do is something straightforward, like shut the water off until sunrise on the Sunday morning. He said no problem, and he would go and sort the problem, fitting a new float valve on the Sunday. So his friend has an emergency. He's the only one nearby. He's like, can you just go to this house and like just fix it temporarily for me? Yeah. Just shut the water off. And he said, sure, because he's a good friend. He's helping out and whatever.
A good guy.
When I arrived at the property, I was in need of using the bathroom really badly, but I was too embarrassed to ask the householder as I had just met her. So entering the property, I asked the wife of the gentleman if she had a ladder I could use to gain access to the loft space, and she very happily obliged. The only problem was that the step ladder she came back with was not anywhere near tall enough to get me into the loft without a struggle.
Oh, God.
I was now standing at the top of the step ladder in desperate need of a poo.
Of a poo. And she's like under you looking up like, are you okay? And
with
he's got a poo.
My head and shoulders through the loft hatch.
No, do not.
I can make it from here, I thought. And I pushed down with my arms, lifting my body and my weight into the loft. Now, for one of the most terrible moments of my entire life.
God damn it.
Your face is so
awful.
Good.
She's right underneath her looking up at so the sky. Good. What did he do?
I pushed down, lifting my weight into the loft, I farted.
Okay.
Not a quiet little fart, not a short fart that could be masked with a cough, but the loudest, longest, wettest fart of my entire life. It seemed to go on forever. Because you know why his gut's like basically hanging halfway on the
yeah,
window.
He's restricting it.
Yeah.
He's restricting the gas.
This is where it gets really bad. The chap's wife was behind me at the time, steadying the stepladder for me, and I had fully farted in her face.
In her face. Okay, so she was holding the ladder, right?
She was holding the ladder. Steady. His butt is right in front of her face, and he let out the longest, loudest, wettest of his entire life.
I mean, that moment, this is a hot take. That could be a perfect moment.
What do you do if you're holding the ladder?
I probably fall backwards and like get a concussion and then scream bloody murder.
What do you do if you're the guy?
I mean, I never move. I move out of the town. I never contact anyone.
But what do you
my
do
identity.
In the moment? What do you do in the moment?
I probably like fall out of the spot, like tip the ladder over and like apologize profusely.
Kick the ladder and kick her in the face after you've already farted.
Kick her in the face. I try to
knock
her
out. You try to knock her out so she doesn't remember.
She wakes up at the hospital. She's like, what happened? And you're like, I don't know. We had a bad storm.
Let's see what happened. She ran to the bathroom where she started retching from what had happened. I could hear her vomiting. I was honestly horrified at what I had done. I remember thinking, I cannot face that woman on the way out of the property.
Is he still dangling?
I turned.
Or is he in the room?
He got in. I turned off the water at a valve. I jumped down onto the ladder and I got out of the building as soon as I could. Walking up her garden path, her husband, I presumed, had gotten out of his car and asked if I managed to turn the water off. I said, yep, all done. Got into my car and got out of there as quickly as I possibly could, disappearing up the road in a cloud of petrol fumes. Sunday morning rolled around. The mobile phone rang, and it was the call I was dreading. My friend Jay, the one who had asked him to do the job, was on the phone. He said the family whose home I had been along to said that never, under any circumstances, was I allowed to attend their home ever again.
That's a really nice way of putting it.
I asked him why, and they had refused to tell him what happened, but I was never to go back there. Eventually, after much interrogation, I admitted to Jay what had gone on.
In the wife's face.
And he was as horrified as I was, but probably not as horrified as that poor woman that was holding the stepladder behind me.
I mean, the best.
The fart was so bad she puked.
I want a short film of like it starts and the husband opens the door and is like, "Honey," and then she runs out. She, that man right farted in my face. I've blown chunks in the toilet, and then it's just like blackout. Or just like the laugh. Oh my God.
I love to think of him like consoling her and she's crying and he like calls up and they're like, that plumber is never allowed back here again. Why? We won't talk about it, but he's never allowed again. It's so funny.
My wife's face has been blown apart.
She has no eyelashes or eyebrows. She inhaled poo particles. Yeah, it's just good.
She inhaled poo particles. You should write for Downton Abbey.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like I should. I feel like it's like a really romantic story. Yeah. I missed it.
Okay, so here we go. Okay. Woo. This is from Lauren in Los Angeles, and she writes, I was a barista at a well-known restaurant downtown. I met all kinds of interesting people with accomplished careers, and I loved my regulars. One summer, our slowest time, a cute man came in and sat down at the bar. I greeted him with curiosity and put the menu down flirtatiously.
Oh.
Immediately, ordering a latte, he said, I can't talk right now because I just took an Adderall and I'm working on my screenplay, and if it kicks in before I get up and running, I'll only be focused on you, so could you please just get me my latte?
He said that to her?
Yes.
That's so crazy.
What?
And weird.
Dick, is what I thought. Sure, is what I said. I made sure his latte sucked, and then I forgot about him. He came in a couple of times after, and I'd cast him off to another bartender or just flat out ignored him. That summer, my longtime boyfriend and I broke up. It took forever, and the whole time I was brokenhearted and just slogging through the motions at work. The same cute guy came in again one night and was lingering and flirting with me.
Mm-hmm.
I gave into the distraction with a weary eye. However, I was surprised by our quick banter. I even asked him if Adderall was the reason he was focusing only on me. No, you've grabbed my attention all on your own, he said.
Wow.
That's the end of the story.
No drugs today.
Love has extinguished all the drugs. We flirted the rest of the night as I worked, and he asked what I was doing after I got off. I'd never done this before, and I haven't done it since, but I agreed to go home with him.
Oh.
I was instantly nervous as I did my checkout, so I proceeded to do a couple of shots for courage, as you do, just to loosen up so I could get back out there. It'd been 8 months since I last had sex, and ready or not, I was coming.
Pun intended.
Pun intended. It didn't occur to me until later that the guy hadn't had any drinks while flirting with me. He had had 3 lattes. He'd written his address on a napkin and told me to meet him there. He lived 3 doors down from where I worked, so the commute wasn't going to be hard. The shots weren't working, so I poured myself a hearty glass of white wine and freshened up in the bathroom. Then I downed some Amaro for good measure on my way out.
Nice. She getting ripped.
She getting slapped. She's slappy. Fast forward.
Slappy, slappy.
Slappy, slappy. Fast forward to my slipping and sliding the 3 blocks to his house. I was shellammered.
Oh, no.
I cheered myself on the way there, saying, you've got this. You'll be fine in a minute. Keep marching, sister. I get to his house, and he opens the door. What do? I kick off my shoes at the door and run inside and slide across this wood floor in my socks.
Stop it. She pulled a Tom Cruise.
Not
That's
a
hilarious.
Great idea. Can you imagine?
That's really funny.
Why did she think to do that? Like, what would be?
Because she was drunk.
She was wasted. When I come to a stop, all I say is, great floors. Are you fucked up? He asked. Nope. I lied. And then he went over to a couch and started playing me a Dave Matthews song on his acoustic guitar.
Goodbye. That's the only curtains. Red flag that's that you curtains. Need. That's yeah.
It doesn't matter you're drunk.
Turn it
this
around.
Guy's a serial killer.
Take it outside. Okay? Yeah. Answer marching away.
Slide back out the door and get those shoes. Stat. He told me we were so harsh. We're so way harsh. He told me in between singing that he'd met Dave before because Dave had wanted to fuck his girlfriend at the time.
Second red flag. It's again time to take it on
Let's
out the
say
door.
Goodnight to
That's
the audience.
All you need. Your freaking name dropping Dave Matthews. Goodbye. Goodbye.
While he's playing a Dave Matthews song, so bad. I got depressed. My ex-boyfriend was a musician and cheated on me. Maybe because I was tired or overworked or just allowing the grief of my breakup to wash over me at the most awkward time, I burst into tears.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine?
They're like, so the beauty of satellite brought me to my knees.
He's like, crash into me, please. This guy mistook these tears to mean that I was moved by his song. So he sang louder.
Oh, no.
And strummed harder. I got
He's like, this girl gets it.
It's like, she gets
She's
me.
Picking up what I'm putting down.
She's like, Dave Matthews is a Mac.
Yeah.
I got up suddenly feeling sick and ran to his bathroom where I vomited, not in the toilet, but in his bathtub.
Oh, why? Why?
I don't know. There's so many moving parts to this story.
Yeah.
I heard the guitar stop right as the bathroom light clicked on. What the hell? He said. I was mortified. What do? I drunkenly ran from the bathroom, slide across the floor in my socks to the door, grab my shoes, and leave.
I love it.
He slammed the door behind me, and that's how I ruined what could have been a perfect one-night stand.
I don't think so. It was already starting pretty whack there with the Dave Matthews
strumming
on the guitar.
Has anyone ever done that for you? Has everyone ever been like,
yes,
let me play some covers?
And literally Dave Matthews. And that's really fucking funny. That's why I'm like, I'm getting the flashbacks. But I was 16, so
yeah, that was his heyday, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that song "Crash" was like the mantra of my high school senior year. Yeah. I thought it was a sexy song at the time.
Yep.
And I absolutely did not go see Dave Matthews live like 7 times in college. Never
no,
would. Why would I do
Dave Matthews live too.
Definitely. For sure.
At the Bowl. Anyway.
moving on.
This last story comes from Quora, and Shelley writes, my boyfriend and I were out of town and had been going out and having fun. I had to pee really badly after a night of club hopping. I'm like, ugh, been there so many times. And waiting in bathroom lines at
that
the bar.
Club hoppy.
And I decided, it's time to leave instead of just waiting it out. Those lines suck, right?
I mean, dude. I was like such a nerd. Go on.
So we headed back to our hotel. With my boyfriend in the elevator of the hotel with another slightly older couple we didn't know, I sneezed. And the floodgates opened up.
Oh, no.
You relate to this.
I have
been
there a million times.
There
recently.
Was another couple in the elevator, and the four of us could not stop laughing, which made it much worse for trying to stop my stream.
Oh, no.
I was mortified when the elevator door opened and there were people standing there. They were not amused and said some pretty bad things to us as we walked down the hall to our room. My dress was skin tight and light gray and now had dark, wet stains all over the front and back, and my legs were soaked to my heels.
No.
And I'm sure there was a big puddle all over the elevator,
shoes.
Too, and it stunk. Yeah.
Ugh.
It's funny now. It was very embarrassing then, and it took the sexiness right out of our date. I also had to hear about it all the time from friends that found out. Everyone would periodically fake sneeze and laugh, and I would relive the embarrassment every time it came up.
See, I think that one's worth it. That is hilarious.
Yeah.
You sneeze and pee your pants. That's all it takes.
Pee your
sneeze.
Skirt and your bare legs and your heels in a puddle on the floor.
Oh,
you don't have any protection.
I've been there
At least in
so
pants,
many
you have
times.
Some protection. They can probably soak up a good amount
yeah.
of it.
And then you have to like do that waddle where you're like,
but
oh,
she,
God.
I mean, I remember those. You know, the break the seal moments at the bar where you had to pee so badly and the lines were so long
as
and
hell.
Like there's going to be a lot of pee coming out because you've been drinking a lot.
Yeah.
So, and she couldn't hold it with the sneeze, but the
right.
laughter, like it all came out.
Yeah. And it's luckily not, she was in good company until the doors opened and then those jerks are like, what is that? You piss pants. Like what could they possibly have said that was so rude?
I mean, there is like a huge wet puddle on the floor
yeah,
and
they
it
have
stinks
to get in
and
there.
It's gross.
They
so
have
yeah.
to get in there.
But I wouldn't have said anything to their faces. I just would have been like, let's take the stairs.
Yeah,
they're like,
the
it's
stairs.
The 32nd floor to our room. So.
I would have loudly said, we're taking the stairs.
Mm-hmm,
that's what I would have done. Passive aggressive.
You gotta be passive aggressive.
My last story is from Reddit, and Ashikahachu says, way back in my teen years, three friends and I are at a pizza place. While waiting for our food, I start clowning and stick two straws up my nose, one in each nostril.
Oh, you goof.
You little goof. One of the straws cuts open the inside of my nostril
Ooh.
And opens up a gusher of blood.
Oh, God.
It's all over my shirt and neck.
It's horrifying.
You have to pause there. You
that is
to, like,
horrifying.
It started out so fun, and then it turns on a dime.
It was sweet and innocent, and you just jammed it right up your nose.
I'm grabbing napkins from the dispenser, drenching them all with my nostril blood. My friends think this is by far the funniest thing they've ever seen and are laughing uncontrollably and uproariously, calling attention to our table. Other patrons stare at me in disgust and disbelief. It took a good 15 minutes for the blood to stop flowing. Can you imagine you losing that much blood from your nose?
Yeah, it's horrible.
I make the walk of shame to the restroom covered in blood with a napkin jammed to my nose, carrying a giant wad of bloody napkins to dispose of in the restroom garbage can.
I mean, that's a sharp good straw. Times. That must have just hit that's right at the like, right chunk or something.
Who knew you had that much blood in your nostrils?
I did. That's happened to me before.
What?
But with
straws?
I think I've talked about this on here, but remember neti pots and everybody was doing neti pots?
Yes, you have not talked about this.
The neti pot time.
For your voice, right? That's why you do it?
I mean, this was 15 years ago, but I was doing neti pots, but you're supposed to do it with filtered water. You're not supposed to do it in the shower. And I was doing it in the shower and I like with the salt water. And basically it like, you know, this happens to people with cocaine too, but it like eroded like the section. Like,
oh,
I know it's horrific.
No.
Like in between my nose, there was like an issue with it. Like it eroded. And it just started gushing out of my nose. I had like to go to a shift at work and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, this is crazy.
You're in the shower, just bleed, nose bleed.
I got out of the shower. I was
bloody
freaking
drain.
Out. Like, Mirage and I had like just been dating for like a year probably. I was like, come get me some napkin or something. I was like, oh my God. Like, I could not stop the bleeding.
Oh,
and I started getting really scared because I like bled for like 15 minutes and I was like,
that's
what am I going to
so
do?
Scary.
Like, there's so much blood coming out. Like, it was crazy. And I was like putting my head back and then like choking on it. It was disgusting. And then, like, I realized, no, you're supposed to put your head forward, not put your head back. You're supposed to put your head forward
really?
And, like, pinch it. Yeah.
Oh, God,
so
Katie.
It was so disgusting. It was disgusting. So I'm like, yes, I do know
Mirage
how bad your nose can gush. And don't
wonderful.
Use a neti pot. And I have not used one to this day.
I would neither.
Like,
I would
again.
Neither.
But I was having a lot of, like, sinuses and stuff back then. It was supposed to be, like, good, yeah, to clear your sinuses for your voice, all that. But, yeah, you're supposed to use filtered water, and that is why.
That's so scary. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
I know.
That's
an
embarrassing story that traumatized me.
Yeah, it was gross. I know. It was nasty.
I can't imagine. That's
but I got, yeah, that's another embarrassing story. I wasn't even embarrassed. I was, like, freaked out.
Right.
It was gross.
And that's our show.
And that's our show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, get on there and give us a review on Apple, please.
Just do it.
We would love it.
Yeah.
And Spotify, too. And
that
tell your friends.
5 minutes.
Rate, review, subscribe. It helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
We love your emails. We keep them coming. We love them. If you want to buy us like a pastry or half a burger, just subscribe to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join them.
Join them.
See you next week.